Okay, let's begin our discussion. Again, Purim has so many different topics that we could think about and focus on, but there's a crucial one that I think blends halacha and hashkafa and machshava that we'll try to put together in this discussion. The Gemara tells us you can learn all of Maseches Megillah and not get to this Chazal because it's only a Maseches Shabbos, not a Megillah, right? And the Gemara tells us, right, Kol HaTorah Kula Inyan Echad, all of Torah is one unit. And you have to know all of Shas to know everything. You have to know more than all of Shas to know everything. But the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Vayisasu Masechta Sahar, of course, describing Maimed Har Sinai. Amar of Dimi Bacham Bachasa Malame Shakafa Kadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Asahar Kegigas. Hashem held a mountain over our heads like a barrel. We've spoken in the past why a barrel. What's the significance of a barrel? He may have the mountain over our heads like a mountain. Why dafka does it have to be a barrel? Okay. V'yamar Lehem, and he says, if you accept the Torah, great. V'im Lav Sham Teik Varaschem. And if not, I'm going to drop the mountain. It will be the end of Jewish history, and that'll be it. He made us an offer we couldn't refuse. He forced us to accept the Torah. Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov Mikan Modar Rabba Lo Raisa. From here, we have a great excuse, at least for a certain point in history. If we ever did anything wrong, we can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you forced it upon us. What do you want from us? Right, Rashi explains there, Modar Rabba, source number two, Shem Yasminem Ladin, if we were ever called to judgment, Lama lo kiyamtem, Masha kibaltem aleichem, why didn't you fulfill what you accepted? We could say, well, we didn't accept it. You forced it upon us. Yesh lehem shuva, shekiblu ba'ones. So at least for a certain amount of time, from the time of Maimon Har Sinai, right, until, I don't know, about 800 years later, right, when the Purim story took place, right, we read last week's Haftorah, right, said that the Beis HaMikdash was built 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So 480 plus another 410 it was up for. That's 890 plus another about 60 years until the Purim story. So about 950 years. About 950 years from Maimon Har Sinai to the Purim story. So for almost 1,000 years we had a great excuse. But then we removed our excuse in a good way. Amar Rava, Afal Pikein Hadar Kiblu Abim Achashverosh. Even so, we reaccepted it willingly in the days of Achashverosh. Dechsev Kimu V'Kiblu Al Yehudim Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar. Kimu V'Kiblu, we reaccepted, and Chazal Darshan, we were Mekayim what we had originally accepted earlier. Okay, wonderful. Just a little question on the Gemara. If you were writing the Gemara and you wanted to say they accepted it in the days of the Purim story, I could have thought of a better way to say it. Hadar kiblu abimei Mordechai ve'Esther. How about that? Bimei Achashverosh. Why are we giving him the credit? Okay, it says at the beginning of the Megillah, Vayhi bimei Achashverosh. It says that. That's true. So it was bimei Achashverosh. But this is Chazal. This isn't quoting a pasuk. Right, so is there a message that Chazal are trying to give to us that there's something about Achashverosh, his personality, what he stood for, something about Achashverosh that teaches us something about Purim and what we're supposed to get out of this? Question one. Question two. And really, the first three quarters of this year are going to be questions because it's really going to be already part of the answers, but we'll see as we go. Question two, the Rambam tells us at the end of Hilchas Megillah, the last halakha in Hilchas Megillah, V'chanukah, the Rambam tells us, Kol Sifri HaNeviim, V'chol Aksuvim, Asidin libatel liyamos haMashiach. A very unusual Rambam. The Rambam says all of Nach will be batel when Mashiach comes. So any shir that you hear about Tanakh, you know, you're gonna have to put away in Geniza. You're not gonna listen to any shir my Yeshayo anymore. Right, we're gonna put it away. What is the Rambam talking about? The Rabbi jumps on the Rambam. What are you talking about? What, Neviim and Ksuvim is temporary? Okay. Not so much of our focus right now, but all of Sifrei Neviim and Ksuvim are going to be batel, chutz mi Megillas Esther, except for Megillas Esther. Hare hi kayemes kechamishe chumshe Torah ukehilchas shel Torah shebalpeh she'enon betelin la'olam. Megillas Esther is like Torah, so it's forever. So again, we're not going to focus now on the Nach part of it, but what does he say Megillas Esther is like? It's an unusual lashon. I don't know if the Rambam ever said this anywhere else. It's like Chamishi Chumshei Torah and Hilchas Shel Torah Shebal Peh. What's the Rambam trying to tell us about Megillas Esther? Why didn't he just say Torah? He tells us Torah Shebechsav, Torah Shebal Peh. Have to say both of those because both of those are eternal. V'yavah b'shekal zichron atzoras yibatel, and even though all the the memory of other tzaras will be batel, as Yeshayahu says, Ki nishkechu atzaras harishonos. Yemei haPurim lo yibalu, the days of Purim will not be batel, sheneemar, Yemei haPurim eilo lo yavru b'toch hayudim, v'zichrom lo yasu mizarim. And the Ravid jumps on the Rambam and says, Dvar hedyotos huzeh, this is foolish. Right, we're not going to have to read Tanakh, maybe. Maybe we won't do Haftorah anymore. But the books themselves, Kisvi HaKodesh, that's forever. Okay. But what is it about, what's this language of the Rambam? Kechamishichem she'Torah, uketorah sheba, kehilcha she'Torah sheba beshi yinim b'tein li'olam. What is the Rambam driving at? And what is unique about the Purim story and Megillas Esther that's forever? Unlike, there's something that's forever about Megillas Esther different than all other svar. So what exactly is the lashon of the Rambam? So what's the mode, what's the Bimei HaShverosh? What's the language of the Rambam here?
Maybe there's another question. That they say that if the Megmara, that if we weren't using any head,
we would only have Torah and Sefer Yoshua.
Yeah, so,
right, Gemara Nedarim. Right, so but once there is, but we did sin, and we have all these svarim. Doesn't seem like Yeshayahu is temporary.
But we see that Esther is better than Rambam says that Esther is better than Yeshua.
Right, even better than Yeshua. Right, it's part of the kasha. Part of the kasha. Okay, let's talk about the mitzvah of Megillah itself. I'm going to go to two other topics now, which are their own topic, but we'll have to take a step back from them and ask a question about them. Kriyas Megillah. The Gemara tells us in Megillah Daf Yudalid, Tana Rabbanan. Arba'im v'shmona neviim v'sheva neviyos. There were 48 neviim not listed in Chazal. Right? Rashi lists them. The Gra lists them. Right? What's a navi? A navi does not mean somebody talks to Hashem. Right? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? And many others. Right? Spoke to Hashem. There were many women. All the imos spoke to Hashem. And yet when the Chazal give the list of the seven neviyos, not all the imos are on there. Right, a Navi means, or a Naviyah means, someone who's given a message to give to Am Yisrael. That's a Navi. Navi is from the word Niv Svatayim, expression of the lips. So you have to, a message to give over. So there were 48 Naviyim and 7 Naviyos, Nisabu Amli Yisrael. V'lo paksu v'lo siru mashakasa b'Torah. They didn't add or take away anything from the Torah. They didn't add on a mitzvah, they didn't take away a ver. Meaning they didn't say there's a mitzvah, pashas midaraisa. They didn't say there's a... There's less. Chutz mi mikra Megillah. Only mikra Megillah. That's the only one. And the Rishonim all are bothered. What about Neiros Chanukah? What about Netilas Yadayim? What about Halakas Neir Shabbos? There are a lot of mitzvahs to Rabbanan. Unless you get the impression that mikra Megillah is different, is mikra Megillah... Well, let's read the next line. What level chiyuv is a mikra Megillah? Pashtus. What level chiyuv? It's a Durabanan. Durabanan, it happened after the Torah. If we didn't know anything, let's just read this Gemara. What does it sound like from the Gemara? The only thing they added on was Mikra Megillah. And what's even the source? My Drush. What's the source for Mikra Megillah? Amar B'chia Bar-Avin, Amar B'shubin Karcha. Uma me'abdus l'cheiris amrinan shira. If we say shira, if we say halal, and have a holiday from Avdus l'cheiris, Pesach, we were alive and we were servants. We were slaves and we were freed, and that's enough to say Shira and have a holiday. Surely, when we were going to be annihilated, Misa L'chaim, for sure we should have a holiday and say Hallel. And that's what the Gemara says. Why don't we say Hallel? And the three reasons why we don't say Hallel on Purim. But what impression do you get from the Gemara? Svara, no, many of you saw the Gemara this year. Lamli Kras Svarahu. Svara is on the level of Daraisa. Right, so the Tosas Rid and others say, Mikra Megillah has a shemetz of a Doraisa element. Of course, it happened after the Torah. But there's something about it. That, I mean, just to give a parallel in parentheses, Chassam Sofer writes, Halal on Chanukah is a Doraisa. If I don't say Halal all of Chanukah, I'm a Vatal Mitzvah Doraisa of Halal. What do you mean Halal? It's happened afterwards. Sometimes it could be something that has a little shemetz. You read the Gemara, it sounds like it's a Drashas Chazal. Kal v'chomer. And that's what the Tosas Rid says in Megillah Daf Chaf. But we don't assume that way. The Baal HaMor, the Ron quotes the Baal HaMor in source number 6, the Raz HaLevi, Omer Shimei Purim Divrei Kabbalah Heim. It's Divrei Kabbalah. No, it's Divrei Kabbalah is a strong din de Rabbanan, right, based on Sukkim. So the Tosfos read, and the Pasha of the Gemara says it has a little bit of a daraisa. The Baal HaMor says, no, it's a strong de Rabbanan, Divrei Kabbalah, based on Sukkim. Says the Turei Evan, the Shagas Aryeh, it's somewhere in the middle. What do you mean somewhere in the middle? It's not a mitzvah daraisa, right? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, to lay in the Megillah. But is it a pure derabanan? Like, what's a derabanan? A derabanan is the rabbis come along and say, I think it's a good idea to do the tilas yadayim, syag for eating truma. They thought it was a good idea. I think we should do something to remember what happened. Even Habakkuk's neir is Hanukkah. What happened here? Esther and Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh, that this holiday should exist, that this should be, that Megillas Esther should be part of Kisvei HaKodesh, and that this should be a holiday. Is that Daraisa? Is that Darabanan? Pure Darabanan? They had Ruach HaKodesh, that this is what should be done. None of the other Mrs. Darabanan got Ruach HaKodesh the same way that Esther and Mordechai had. So says the Turei Evan on Daf Dalet in source number 7, right, says the on the bottom line, the Gabi Megillah Lamaita Pirish Da'afa Gavdein Chayavim Mi Iker Chiyev Ruach Hakodesh Afilu Achi Chayeves Mi Drabanan. And then he says, Devade Davar Shechiyuva Ruach Hakodesh Lo Dami L'Shel Torah L'Gamrei V'Lo L'Shel Devrayhem. It's not the Raisa, it's not the Rabbanan, it's somewhere in the middle. Elihi Milsim Mitziyasa. What a lumdish line, right? It's somewhere in the middle between a daraisa and a derabanan. Bein shel Torah l'shel sofrim creates a new category. Doesn't say Divrei Kabbalah. Sounds like it's even stronger than Divrei Kabbalah. Wonderful, amazing machlokas about this. Take a step back. Let's ask a question on this whole topic. Why is it so unclear? Why is there even a discussion about this? We generally assume that we know categorization of mitzvahs. This is a daraisa and this is a derabanan. And all of a sudden we have a mitzvah that, well, we're not so sure. It looks like a derabanan, but it might not be a derabanan. Ruach HaKodesh could play a role. What's the message from this discussion for us? So this is really, if you think about it, it could be question 3, if you think about it. Again, number 1, what's Achashverosh, Yimei Achashverosh, why is that significant? Number 2, remember the Rambam's Lashon? This would be question 3. Why is there a discussion about, right? Why is there a discussion?
Too far. You want to come closer? Are you good?
Couch is good. Right? Why is there a discussion even about what level of chiyuv this is? Let's continue and go to another conversation, which is just as puzzling. Again, this is the next 10 minutes is going to be a topic of really, we could have a whole shiur about the next 10 minutes of topic. We're going to squeeze it in, maybe 12 minutes. Right? We're going to squeeze it in, but then we're going to ask a question on the whole discussion. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah, source number 9, Dav Zayin. No, source number 8. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Esther Einu Matame Seyadayim. Esther is not Matame Seyadayim. What's that Lashon? So have you ever learned Maseches Megillah or Maseches Yadayim? Right? In the days of old, there was a big problem. Kohanim. Got some Kohanim here? Right? Kohanim. Okay. Kohanim needed to keep their Truma Tahar. The problem is, you know, people are, you know, always touching things. My guess is, I said this on Shabbos, my guess is that Beheri Bana Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim are going to have, or even maybe even Yisraelim, we're going to have 2 refrigerators in our house. We're going to have a separate truma fridge. Right, we're going to keep truma in the regular fridge with the other food. It's going to be very confusing. Right, when the woman's Anita, and you have the cones over, and the... Probably have a separate truma fridge. But in the days of old, you didn't even have 1 fridge. So where do you keep your truma? You don't want it to become tame. You didn't want everybody to be touching it in the house. So great idea. You know what the Kohanim did? They kept it in the Aron Kodesh of the shul. Nobody's going to touch there. So that's what they did. So that created a problem. Because when there's food around, that brings animals. Right? That brings animals. So the animals used to come into the Aron Kodesh and take a nibble of the food. But while they were there, they took a nibble of the Torah too. So Chazal had to come up with some kind of idea. How could I get the Kohanim not to put their Truma in the Aron Kodesh? And they came up with this unbelievable, brilliant idea, which is totally opposite of what I would have thought. If the Truma touches the Torah, the Truma becomes Tameh. Any kisvei akodesh make your truma tamei. Unbelievable. You would think the Torah is the most holy item. Right? Nevi miksuvim. No, Chazal said, if it touches truma, kisvei akodesh has the status of a shnia latuma, and therefore, if it touches any kisvei akodesh, it becomes tamei. That's where the lashon comes from. If you want to know something real, something in Tanakh, it's metamei as yadayim.
Why can't it just be gozer that they can't put?
Yes, that wasn't going to work. You know, so it won't, so I'm going to put it. Okay, what's, you know, I don't want my... Tumah and Tahara, people are very, seems to be very makbid on it. Remember that terrible story in Maseches Yuma where the coin was dying, he had his knife in him. Quickly, take the knife out, right? I don't want it to become tame. Right? So people were very makbid about Tumah and Tahara, maybe sometimes even too much in terms of the hierarchy of things. So this was what Chazal assumed would work. So that's why the language, if you want to know if something's in real Tanakh, you say it's Matame Yaseyadayim. Says Shmuel, Esther is not Matame Yaseyadayim. Meaning, Shmuel holds that Esther is not fully part of Tanakh. Not fully part of Tanakh. Eina Matame Yaseyadayim. Right? It was a late Sefer. Right? It was a late Sefer between Bais Vishem and Bais Sheni. It's the latest Sefer that got into Tanakh. L'meimer Tzar v'Shmuel Esther la Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. Is this to tell me that Shmuel doesn't think that Esther was said Baruch HaKodesh? V'hamar Shmuel, it was said. Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. And the Gemara there, if you remember, quotes seven different psukim. How do you know Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh? Haman said in his heart. How do we know what Haman was thinking? Right? So the Gemara answers, Nemra likros lo Nemra lichtov. No. It was said Baruch HaKodesh in order to be able to read it on Purim. But it wasn't said in Ruach HaKodesh to write down and be part of Tanakh. What does that mean? Was it said Ruach HaKodesh or not? It was said that there's a mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. But it wasn't said enough that it should be part of Tanakh. What does that mean? Ask Tosfos, ask the Ritva there, the Pnei Yeshua. Right? The Rishonim, the Achronim are wondering, I don't understand this. Is it Kisvei HaKodesh? Is it not Kisvei HaKodesh? Right? The Ritva there, Megillah Daf Zayin, says... It's enough Kisvei HaKodesh that it's not a problem to write it down. Because you're not allowed to write down Torah Sheba'al Peh. But it's not fully Kisvei HaKodesh. It's not Metame Yasei Adayim. Coming up with this middle status. What's going on here? So there's a gorgeous Chiddush of Rav Zsolti, the Mishnas Yavetz. Sal Zsolti, one of the Gdolim, right, lived in the 60s and said, I don't remember what year he was Nifter. He was Nifter at a young age. He was not old. But in Mishnas Yavetz, he says, and there are many rises to this, maybe we'll mention two more. But the Yesod of Rav Zsolti is, Megillas Esther is the transition between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's the last book to get into Torah Shebichsav, but because it's the last book and it's the transition book, it's not fully just like all the other Sfar. And we know that even by being in shul on Purim. If you ever notice, if you ever go to a shul and somebody does Hagbah, like a little too many columns, I'd always say Hagbah is supposed to be Kavod HaTorah, not Kavod HaMagbiah. Right? Always supposed to know there are a certain number of columns you're supposed to do, and not supposed to do more. Right? So let's say somebody does one, and then, so what happens? Sometimes the cloth goes down. So what do? You take a talus and you lift up the cloth. You don't touch the cloth of the Torah. Right? And all of a sudden, what do we have? Right? We have Megillas Esther, right? We're holding the cloth. Anybody has a personal Megillah? You hold the cloth in your hand. How do you do that? The Mishnah Berurah says you should wash your hands before you hold the cloth. Okay, but we're holding the cloth. How are we allowed to hold the cloth? Right? Right? We don't hold, even by Nevi'im, right? Nevi'im have one Eitz Chaim, right? Like you're laying from a cloth here. You don't touch the cloth. So, the Gemara says... The Gemara says, look at source 13. This is the secret. Turn the page for a minute. Amar of Chalbo, Amar of Chama Bargui, Marav. Megillah Nikre Sefer, V'Nikre Sigeres. Megillah Esther is both a Sefer, meaning it's Kisvei HaKodesh, and it's also an Igeres. It's somewhere in the middle. Anybody here have their own Megillah? I didn't get one until much later when I got Smicha. I had a... So on the top of many Megillahs, it's called the Hamelach Megillahs. So it's Hamelach on the top of many all the columns. As long as they have a crown, like pictures. Let me see, Hamelach, sometimes there are crowns on the top. In my Megillah, I have this crown. You allowed to have pictures in the Torah? You ever think about that? There are pictures in the Megillah. Technically, the Shulchan Aruch says, no, I've never seen a Megillah like this, but technically, you're allowed to have Nekudos in the Megillah. Make it much easier for a Baal Koreh. Right? But you're allowed to, but you're allowed to have pictures of... What do you have pictures? Nikra Sefer, Nikra Sigeres. Megillas Esther is somewhere in between, says Rav Zsolti, between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. It's the transition sefer. And that's why it has some halachas like Torah Shebichsav, and that's what the Gemara says. Right? You have to use these types of strings and these types of material because it's somewhere in the middle. So Shmuel says it's not Metame Yasei Yadayim. It's not fully, but it makes it into, it's in Tanakh. Look at this. There's a Yerushalmi. Source 14, the Yerushalmi and Megillah. The Yerushalmi requires a pasuk. The Yerushalmi requires a pasuk to teach me that you're allowed to darshan psukim in the Megillah. Right, we compare, we based on a pasuk, ma zu nitna lihidarish, av zu nitna lihidarish. Just like the Torah can be darshan, so too Megillah's Esther can be darshan. Right? Why need a pasuk to tell me you can darshan a pasuk in Tanakh? It's a pasuk in Tanakh. Of course you can darshan it. And I'll add, those of you who did the first parak of Maseches Megillah, there's no other book that we darshan more psukim. We go through every pasuk. This is what we learn. Hu Achashverosh, right? Yehuda Bakush. Every pasuk, you keep going to the end of the parak. Why is that parak have such big dafim? Because we darshan every at the end of Verov, the rov, Ratzu, the rov, Echav. Every pasuk we darshan. Why do we darshan so much? I once saw upshot. Not really. A little bit like this. I'm just adding, but because this is the transition sefer between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. So this Yerushalmi says, you need a hetter to darshan it. But you know what? And then we darshan it because this is Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what this book is. Right? And that's what Rav Zsolti says. Right? You see if the, in source number 12 again, just to read his lashon, which I didn't read before. Line 5. Lefiza nimsa, Shebe Megillas Esther Namra Halacha Mechudeshes. Megillas Esther has this new idea. Shi'af al pishu hu lo bichlal kisvei hakodesh, even though it's technically not kisvei hakodesh, v'yesod dina Torah Shebaal Peh, mikal makom nitna likasev likros bo. It's kind of like Torah Shebaal Peh, but it makes it in. And it has some elements of Torah Shebichsav. Shalo nomar abadi, you don't say that it's called Torah Shebaal Peh that you can't write it down. It's somewhere in the middle. So that's Shmuel. And that maybe is the Rambam. The Rambam in 15 and 16. The Rambam in source number 16 gives us his list of Tanakh. Right? What are his books of Tanakh, the Rambam? I always found it very inspiring. If you ever been to the Dead Sea Scrolls in Yerushalayim, ever go to that museum? You should go one Friday or something. They have also it's humongous. You're going to get lost. I remember, but you have to find out when it is. I remember my wife and I once did, it's called the Highlights Tour. Like 2 hours, somebody takes you around, like, you fly through it because you want to see like all the important things, but like the highlights, like the top 10 things. So obviously one of them in the Dead Sea Scrolls they have, I think it's a fake, like there's a replica of what you see, but they have the Aleppo Codex, which is the Tanakh that's from Aleppo from like 1200 years ago. That's the sefer that the Rambam wrote his Tanakh from. That same sefer that we have now. I think it's in the back. I don't think we're able to see it now, but it's the Rambam quotes it in Hilchos Sefer Torah. He said, "I looked in the Aleppo Codex." So the Rambam has his list of Tanakh. Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim, all of them. What does he have in there? Megillah. That's what he calls Megillah Esther. Megillah. Eichah is called Kinos. But if you look in Hilchos Avos Atumos, the Rambam says all Kisvei Hakodesh are Matame Yasei Yadayim, even Shir Hashirim and Koheles, like the two of the other controversial ones. Esam Achronim, why doesn't he say Afilu Esther? That's also controversial. Or Shmuel said it wasn't Matame Yasei Yadayim. Why is Esther not there?
It's not.
Says Rav Zsolti, exactly. Maybe the Rambam passes like Shmuel. It's not Matame Yasei Yadayim. The Rambam paskins l'maisa that it's different than the rest of Tanakh. So yes, it makes it into Tanakh, but maybe it's not Matame Yasei Yadayim. It's not on the same level. So this was a whole beautiful discussion to Rosh Shebichsav, to Rosh Shebaal Peh. Let's take a step back and ask a question on this whole discussion. Why is it so not clear what this is? It's a book in Tanakh. Esther and Mordechai say, put it in Tanakh. Kavuni Ladoros, Kisvuni Ladoros, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh, it is, it's not. Why is it so clear, so unclear? So we just asked, why is it so not clear what level Chiyuv this is? Is this a Darabanan? Is this a Daraisa? Is it somewhere in the middle, the Shagas Aryeh said? And now we're asking, on the scroll itself, why is it so not clear what status Megillas Esther has? Let's keep going with the lack of clarity. The Gemara says in Megillah, source 18. Rishu ben Levi. Amar Rishu ben Levi. Chayav adam likros as a Megillah balayla v'lishnosa bayom. Right? You have to read the Megillah at night. V'lishnosa bayom. Translate that. V'lishnosa. Don't tell me what it means. Tell me what it's translated as. Right? For the word Mishnah. Learn it, teach it. So we know l'maskani. It means you have to read it twice. There's even one of the achronim. We generally don't assume this way. One of the achronim assumes that the daytime reading of the Megillah and the nighttime reading of the Megillah, what does it say in the Megillah? V'hayamim elim is karmanasim. The Binyan Shlomo, one of the greats from the late 1800s, says, I think Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, his generation made up the reading at night. Nowhere in Mishnayos does it mention anything about a nighttime reading of the Megillah. I think it was a later takana. Huge chiddush. There are rayas to that. There are kashas on that. But it's fascinating. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, anyway, so you have to read the Megillah at night. V'lo shanosa bayom. Sh'ne'amar elokai ekro yomam v'lo san v'lo duma yali. Right? What did we think? Savar b'nei l'mikre b'lalya. What did we think he meant? To read it at night and to give a shir about it during the day. I should have mentioned this before. This is another raya that is like Torah Shabbat Peh-ish. Right? You might think you could read it and then you'll learn about it. So that also shows what we said before. But the Gemara says, no, don't think that. Fine. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk. What's the source for reading it twice? Shenem, our first pasuk, it says, Elokai ekra yomam velosan evelaila lo dumu yali. I'll call to you, Hashem. And you don't answer me, velaila, don't be silent. But then 3 lines later, Rabbi Chelba omer ula biyira, there's another pasuk quoted. Chayav adam likros as a Megillah balayla v'shnosa bayom shenemar l'man yizamecha chavod v'lo yidom Hashem alokai l'olam odek. The pasuk we see in Mizbar Shir every morning. Hashem, I'm going to call out to you. I love you. And I thank you. Says Rav Salvechik, what's the message between these two different psukim? Right, the first pasuk. What feeling do you get from the first pasuk? They're both in Tehillim. They're both David HaMelech. But what's the first pasuk? Hashem, I call to you. Answer me. You don't answer me. Please. And what's the second pasuk? Hashem, you're the best. Hashem alokai l'olam odeka. Says Rav Salvechik, the Megillah is both a tefillah and a hallel. That first pasuk is tefillah. Elokai ekra yoma volosane Hashem. You don't answer me. L'mani zemecha chavod. It's both. They say, Rabbi Yitzchak Mibradishev, the first couple of prakim, he was reading the Megillah, he was crying. He was in Shushan. He felt the gzeira. And by the end of Megillah, he was also crying. Crying with happiness. Crying with Vayir Shushan, Salah v'Samecha. He was just crying the whole Megillah. But it's a tefillah and it's a hallel. That's what Rabbi Salvechik says in 19. Yish b'kriyas ha-Megillah m'shem kiyam shal tefillah. That's it's a hallel. So let's ask one final question. Blue nether, maybe fine. Maybe one more. So is it hallel or is it tefillah? Which is it? Usually we don't have something that's both. Tachnun is not hallel. Yes. The Gaonim, there are different parts. Separate parts.
But it's the same
but separate parts. It's not the same thing. Here, it's the same thing. The whole Megillah is Hallel, and the whole Megillah is Tefillah. It's not really separate parts. I said that story of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, but really, the whole story is a Hallel. Like Maschil B'Gnusim B'Sayim B'Shmach, the whole story is a Hallel. The whole story. So how could one thing, it looks like a Hallel, or it looks like like what is it? So let's chazer our questions. Number one, why does it say in the days of Achashverosh, right, we re-accept it? Question two, why does the Rambam use that Lashon? Or remember, now we can understand it a little bit. Remember that Lashon? The Rambam says Megillah Esther is like? Chamisha chum she Torah uka'alacha shel Torah shebal peh. Oh. Torah shebal Torah shebal peh. The Rambam uses that Lashon. But what's unique about Purim? Question three, why is it so unclear about what the chiyuv of Mikriyas and Megillah is? It looks like a Darabanan, but maybe it's a little bit of a Daraisa based on the drasha of Chazal. Right? The Shagas Ari says, maybe it's somewhere in the middle, Darabanan and Daraisa. Why is that so not clear? Next, the Megillah itself. Is it Kisvei HaKodesh? Is it not Kisvei HaKodesh? It's in, but it's not in. The Megillah, is it Hallel? Is it Tefillah? I'll add on one more, but feel free, if you're in my shiur, feel free to forget this before Monday, because we're going to have a whole shiur about this on Monday, B'ez Hashem. Tainus Esther. It's a fast day. It is a fast day. But it's clear that it's not like the other fast days. Just to quote one makar, because we're going to do the rest, B'ez Hashem, next week. One makar. Right? When Tainus Esther falls out, well, let me say it this way. Last summer, Shavuot, Matamas, and Tishah fell out on Shabbos. When did we fast?
Sunday.
Why? What does the Mishnah Megillah say in the Gemara? Why not beforehand? Why? Avdume peranus alo makdamina. You don't push up peranus. You don't push up bad things. If Purim's on Sunday, when do we fast?
Thursday.
Is that just because, oh, when else are you going to fast? But some Rishonim say no, because it's a different type of fast day. It's a different type of fast day. It's not a sad fast day. So what's going on here? Maybe the secret of everything, maybe the secret of Purim is what you see is not what you get. What you see is not always what you think it is. Hester Panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So much of HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind the scenes. A tree for Mordechai is a tree for Haman. A Jewish girl in the palace is not so tragic after all. Right? Charvona is really Eliyahu. He looks like Charvona. Right, I give you that Gemara, I think. Right? The guards of Ahasuerush look like they're planting trees. It's really Malachim. I mean, everything is like not what you think it is. It looks like Kisvei HaKodesh is not really Kisvei HaKodesh. It looks like Hallel, but it's really Tefillah. It looks like Tefillah, but it's really Hallel. It's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes. It looks like a Drabanah, but it's really Daraisa, or it's somewhere in the middle. The message of Purim is that things aren't what they seem, and things aren't clear. Things look clear, but they're not. Right? What were they doing in Shushan anyway? There's an amazing medrash, the Vilna Gaon, at the beginning of the Megillas Esther, quotes this medrash. It says, Ahasuerush became the king very recently, as we know, and he wanted a throne like Shlomo's. Everybody wanted a throne like Shlomo's. There was one problem, though. Right? The base of Israel was only destroyed 60 years before. Problem was, if you try to go onto Shlomo's throne, the lions eat you. Right? The golden lions become alive. If it's, you know, going up there and you're not one of the Malchei Yehuda. So he's like, okay, I gotta build a throne, but I can't use that one. So he searches through all 127 countries. Where are the best artisans? Where are the people who work with gold and silver the best? And where was it? Shushan. So he commissions hundreds of artisans in Shushan, build me a gorgeous throne. And that's what they do. They build an amazing, gorgeous throne. And when they're finally finished, he says, okay, please transport it to my capital, wherever his capital was, somewhere else. And they say, you're kidding. This is not transportable. It's not like the doors of Nicanor we could just put on a boat. It's not transportable. He's like, we have a problem. So he convened a meeting with his committee, because if you notice, Ahasuerus never makes a decision in his life. Should I kill my wife? Let me ask my committee. Right? Should I reward Mordechai? Let me ask somebody. Right? Everything. That's a separate topic. But it's fascinating that he does that. But so he's like, what am I doing? He's like, okay, we're going to move the government to Shushan. How they get to Shushan, which so happens to be the place where Mordechai lives. Because that's where the throne was, and he was stuck in going there because he couldn't move the throne. I got a sparkle behind the scenes. You have no idea. Why didn't he reward Haman, Mordechai, right away? He saved his life? No, he wrote it down. I'll reward him another night. Punk that night, and Haman's exactly walking by. It looks like a coincidence. Purim is all about seeing behind the scenes. It looks like Torah Shabbat, but it's really also Torah Shabbat Peh. It looks like Hallel, but it's also Tefillah. Maybe that's even in the name of Ahasuerus. I would ask, Achashverosh, was he a smart guy? Was Achashverosh a smart guy? Whatever you answer is correct. Because the Gemara has two days about this. The Gemara has two days. Was he a genius or was he a fool? How do you have that? How do you have that machlokas? Right, 24, the last source. Chadamer pikei achaya, chadamer pel tipei shaya. Right. The answer is that's Achashverosh. You know, he's so not what you think he is. You think he's great. You think he's terrible. He saves the Jews. Right. He tells Esther. He said, the Jews. But then if you keep reading the Megillah, it doesn't work out so well. The Jews still have to defend themselves. Purim is about appreciating what we see is not always what's there. And what's there on the surface, there's so much behind the scenes that we don't realize. Right? Lamafreya, retroactive, is 2020. In real life, kimat zero. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to trust. That was the Hadar Kivlu of Achashverosh. Right, Nazav and Ishmael earlier, but now they realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind the scenes, they're ready to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're right. We realize that there's so much behind the scenes. We thought we understood. We thought this was a tragedy, and it ended up being for our good. Obviously, nobody should go through such tragedies. But this is what we have to realize. This is what we have to think about when we have Purim, which is a month before, as we know, a month before Pesach. Exactly. To be zochet to the chadshei ha-geula, we have to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand behind the scenes, orchestrating events. I mentioned in the past, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin's Ha'ara, the greatest miracle in the history of the world, more than Kriyas Yamsuf, more than Yericho, more than Makas Bechoras, the greatest miracle in the history of the world is that we're still around. Is that v'hi she'amda v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu maslenu miyadam. Right? If we don't see the hidden hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that, I was once speaking to one of my kids about one of these, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trying to, you know, difficulty in believing certain things. Well, the one thing that it's true is that we're still around. Okay, that he was ready to accept. Because every generation, they want to destroy us. And we're still here. Right? Mark Twain said it 150 years ago. Right? The greatest mystery of humankind is the Jews. That we're still around. But that's the message of Purim. Hashem's name is not in the Megillah. Right, but he's all over the Megillah. So let's be Megale the Hester in Megillah's Esther. If we also preparing, one needs to, I mentioned this also in Shir, please read over the Megillah before Purim. Just read it over. Get the storyline again. There's always things that we recognize that, like, oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, there's like 10 years. I didn't realize. Oh, it took 4 years from the time Vashti died to the time Esther was appointed. Oh, I didn't realize that. You think like everything happens, like, you know, and when did they fast? They fasted for 3 days. They missed the Seder that year because they were busy fasting. It was in Nisan. You're allowed to fast on the Seder, on Pesach, Pikuach Nefesh. Right? So all these things, it's Mefurish. It's Mefurish in the Megillah when things took place. So read over the Megillah and Be'ez Hashem, through the preparation that we have, we'll be able to be Megala the Hester. And Be'ez Hashem, things will become clear. Maybe I'll just end with this great part, right? About the tefillah that we have for clarity. It's quoted, the Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss quotes this in his Bencher from his Rebbe, the Divrei Yatziv, the Kleisenberg Rebbe. That's his Rebbe. So he quotes this thought. We say in davening, Sab'enu mituvecha. Hashem, we want to be satiated with your goodness. Sab'enu, from the word saveya. It's the emphasis of Sab'enu mituvecha. So the Gemara says that Chazal say, a suma, a blind man, is never satiated. Because part of eating is seeing the food. Right? By a restaurant, it's all in the presentation. Why do you have to put like a squiggly little like sauce over there? Right? It's all in the presentation. Because part of being satiated is seeing. So when we say, Hashem, satiate us with your goodness, Sab'enu mituvecha, what are we asking Hashem? Make it clear. Make us see it. Sab'enu mituvecha. And that's what we daven for. In this world, it's all about Purim. It's all about being Megala the Hester. We daven for the day when it's clear. Sab'enu mituvecha. We should be zochet to that day in these chodshi ha'geula. Be'ed Hashem, Adar and Nisan, we should be zochet to be able to have that separate fridge for the truma. And be'ed Hashem, be zochet to celebrate Purim in Yerushalayim. Be'ed Hashem, b'mehirav yameinu.
Amen.